From theunts.com, this is the Unts Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunts.com. Hello and welcome to the Unts Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. Joining me on the program this week is Atlanta-based Spacetronica Quartet EP3. This live electronic force has been building momentum over the past couple of years through non-stop touring and a rapidly evolving live show. They are Tom Hilton on drums, guitarist Dan Cox, Patrick Scalambrino on bass, and Charles F. Moreland III, C3, on keys and running live production. EP3 is releasing their third EP today on Underlying Themes. You can hear 8 Planets Past Pluto at theunts.com or at ep3band.com. We begin with Tom Hilton and Dan Cox. Let's dig into the backstory of the band, find out how you guys all met, and figure out how you progressed to where you are now. How'd you end up becoming part of each other's lives?
We actually, I met Pat when I was in college. I think we were sophomores in college. He was going to Kent State University. I was going to Akron University up in Ohio. We ended up jamming for about 4 hours at a party, played some jazz and some blues, some bluegrass, some funk. Basically realized that we needed to be playing together. So then I joined the band EP3 up there, where later on we found Dan Cox for guitar.
Yeah, I met them in Kent State a couple years ago. I already forget how long it was, but probably like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And at that time, Tom was playing drums and our buddy Brent was on the keys. Essentially what happened was we were playing, you know, a lot of jam band songs, a lot of more traditional stuff. And we decided that if we were going to take ourselves seriously, we kind of needed to mature our tastes a little bit. So we got into electronic music. We made a decision to move to Atlanta. And really, once we came to Atlanta, everything started shifting in a much different, more positive direction, for sure.
Why Atlanta? What's the music scene like there, and the electronic music scene more specifically?
Yeah, it's insane down here. The Midwest has its more like folksy traditional thing going on, but the Southeast and Atlanta in particular, like, obviously is known for like the hip hop. Now that dubstep's hit the scene like the past couple of years, that's been massive down here. But it's been a combination of a lot of different genres of music that, you know, there's a decent amount of people who live here, but per capita, I almost dare say it's one of the most hyped music cities in the country. Like, people come out continuously for shows. We came there because we had some family. Like, my family and our old keyboardist had family. So it was, of the options we had, we were thinking of moving to Colorado. We had like a couple big ideas, but Atlanta was the smartest, you know, given the current climate down here.
And yeah, I always feel like it's a huge hub for like electronic music. I know when I was in high school and stuff, a lot of my favorite producers and people putting out like drum and bass and electronic music back then were all from Atlanta, you know. There's still that going on, which is like dubstep and like electro. They have some of the best parties.
Yeah, there's great music every night in Atlanta. I mean, basically any genre of music, but the electronic scene's definitely been taking over the last few years.
At first, who were some of the artists you looked to and said, we want to sound like them, or we like what they're doing, let's try something like that? Who were you sort of looking to for inspiration as you were trying to refine that EP3 sound?
I think it's different for all of us, and that's probably why we have kind of a fresh take on it, because we all have our different niches of music that we listen to. So when we come together, all four of us, we kind of culminate that into, you know, something fresh.
Into what EP3 is. I mean, we all come from different backgrounds, and ever since Chuck joined the band this past year, it definitely, you know, changed us totally as a band. Our music's going in a totally different direction now, but I don't know, all the genres that we all listen to and bring to the table form this EP3.
We all dabble in music production. I'm a producer, and I know Pat's got Ableton and messing around with it a lot.
I mean, I personally like a lot of Hudson Mohawk and like Flying Lotus and like Blue Tech, you know, producers like that. Ott is probably.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Like, yeah, what I was about to say is we traditionally like came from a more jam band place, you know? So
sure.
Obviously, like, I know Pat used to love Phish. I love Phish. Like, I was a big jam band. Obviously, Soundtribe and the Biscuits when I was like in high school was pretty, you know, inspirational to me personally. But, trying to fuse like the styles of music that Chuck really digs and that I'm starting to get into and we're all starting to get into, like, the more, you know, really well-produced music, because that's a lot of things, that's something that a lot of the jam bands don't have, is like the really solid, you know, production. and embracing Ableton and embracing like a lot of these new styles of music has really done a lot for our sound.
Sure, absolutely. Charles, I was wondering, your label, I guess all of you seem to be working on it in some way or another, Underlying Themes, which also covers a lot of other bases. It seems to be something you're planning on growing and using as a tool to organize similar artists and also expand your regional scene. It's really all about Atlanta and the greater Southeast.
Oh, yeah, definitely. If it really hadn't been for Underlying Themes, I don't think I would be playing an EP3 right now. I mean, the show that kind of defined when they wanted me in the group was an Underlying Theme showcase down in Kentucky. It was like a 2-night thing because we threw a lot of parties down there with like, it was like Odd and my other group, Bitch Please, one night. And then the next night was EP3 and Headstash, a group that's on my label that I used to play keys for. And we jammed for a little bit during that when they were just doing the 3-piece thing. And, you know, that's kind of when we... You know, when they asked me to start playing with them and when I thought it would be a good idea to start playing with them. And that's why I'm in Atlanta right now.
Tell me about the other things that Underlying Themes is involved in. Obviously, you're promoting shows as well as you've got the label in which you recorded the latest EP.
Yeah, we have a studio base down and like warehouse space down here in like the hood in Atlanta. We do like screen printing, a lot of design work. A lot of people need posters. We do them for all the artwork for most of the artists on the label. Then yeah, a recording studio, a lot of remixes. Actually, our homie Charlie P has AOR, which is Abstract Logic Recording. It's in the same complex. But basically, we're just trying to promote our artists, put out a lot of free music. We get merchandise for a lot of our artists and just other people. And eventually, I think we're gonna move on to doing like a T-shirt line of our own. That's just like cool artists that come to a lot of our shows and paint. You know, just family.
It's fantastic. You're doing it all.
Yeah, it's nicer to be able to do stuff ourselves, you know, and to feel like you're actually growing with the company, you know. I know everything that EP3 does helps Underlying Themes and vice versa, you know.
For sure.
Every little stride that like any of our artists makes is kind of like a win for the whole team, you know. And it's nice to be able to help out some of our friends who are amazing musicians, you know, help get them out in scenes that we're doing better in. And, you know, vice versa. If another one of our artists is from, say, like Savannah, is there, they're going to help us promote our show when we come through, you know?
From EP3's latest release, 8 Planets from Pluto, right here on the UNS podcast.
So let's talk about your live show and a little bit about what's going on behind the scenes. Are you all synced through Charles because he's running Ableton, or are you just getting on stage and doing it as if you're, you know, all just individuals throwing your instruments out there?
I actually play with a click track just in one ear, actually, and use monitors on stage. So I do have a click going, you know, just to keep a basis for time, but it's basically just ran off of monitors. And I mean, we're a live band on stage, you know, bass, guitar, drums, keys, while Chuck's DJing over there.
Yeah, everyone just plays their instruments except for I do a hybrid thing with the computer where I'm like looping keys and you know, controlling MIDI programming and things to control some of our backing synths. But that's, you know, we like to have like a seamless show. So we're all just kind of like paying attention to each other to kind of get like signals and like when to progress and when to change sections.
I was wondering about that. Do you prepare set lists like a jam band, leaving open sections for improv and letting songs segue? Or do you try and build sets like DJs with ebbs and flows in the music and making sure kids are getting down at all times?
Yeah, most of our songs will have like, you know, a solid basis, like chord progressions and melodies that we all hit every time. But pretty much every song has a place in it for improv, you know, and if we'll start somewhere and, you know, it can go where it goes. Some nights it goes really wild places and other nights it may not fall flat, but it's just, you know, it's supposed to be moved on to the next part a little sooner. So it all depends on the audience, really. But each song has its, you know, patented chord progressions, its, you know, its sounds that we like to use and whatnot.
Yeah, and I feel like we can flip a song depending on the crowd and depending on, you know, the type of show. If we're playing an opening slot and we have an hour, you know, we're going to blast through our songs with not much, you know, embellishment, I guess. But if we have like a longer night, like we'll just ride parts for like really long times and go into like complete segues, and then all of a sudden realize going back into the section, you know, like
yeah, being like, oh yeah, we just jammed for 10 minutes on that.
Yeah, yeah, like, well, that song's cool. Usually like 5 minutes, and we were like doing 10 minutes because with the computer, it's just a tempo, so we're staying like tight to the beat and something you can dance to, but then we have room to just loop things and to grow with it, you know.
So do most of your songs and your compositions come out of the jam, or is there a lot of individual composition that's brought in for the group vote, for instance?
Since like me and Dan both produce, a lot of times it's like tracks that will just be, you know, ideas we'll come up with that we were going to originally do just as a production track, you know, something to DJ or something to play off a computer, and everyone seems to like it, so we'll take it to a more live band thing, you know.
Make it an EP3 tune. You know, Pat writes, you know, some of his bass lines. Sometimes there might be a bass line brought into the mix. Same with the drums. Sometimes, you know, somebody else will have an idea, and I'll kind of take my take on that idea. But we got Chuck and Dan basically writing a lot of music right now, and then we kind of format it into EP3.
We'll get back to sort of those compositions and where they've come in a minute, but let's get back to the live show for a second. Tell me about Music Matters and what it means to partner up with them.
Yeah, those guys are the bomb. They, in short, we met them a couple of years ago, shortly after we moved to Atlanta. Our old keyboardist actually caught up with Aaron, who's, you know, I'm not exactly sure of his title, but president or, you know, pretty much the head of Music Matters, and struck up a good relation. They came out and ran lights at one of our shows, and we were like, had our minds blown. This was like before we had ever had like movers and like real solid production. And I remember after that night, we were like, we got to do everything we can to, you know, utilize these guys. So flash forward, what, 2 years later, 3 years later, we finally have worked out a, you know, a contractual situation or whatever with them. But now we got, essentially, now we've got them running production for all our shows. They're like our right hand, man. We got like, just having them looking out for our best interests as well is like really, is really big. They obviously run production at some pretty massive events, and their stores are super successful, and it's just a company full of really dedicated people. So having them on board is, you know, especially now the past, you know, 3 months, 4 months that we've actually linked up with them, like good, real good things are on the way.
Having like an LD the same way every night is really a good thing as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we have to give big shout-outs to Donut, our light guy. He's amazing.
He's amazing. Yeah, yeah. He came and did this Florida tour with us. First time we've really had a dedicated LD for multiple weeks at a time since back in the day, and he just killed it. He had really unique light designs, like was, you know, really fluid in the songs as well.
Well,
like,
nice shit up,
yeah, and like, yeah, he, it's definitely a huge asset to our game to like being able to show up to clubs, like any club in the United States with a light rig that's guaranteed to blow people's minds.
Well, speaking of tours and playing out shows, summer festival season is right around the corner, and you've already been invited to the Blast Off at the Zane Shawnee Caverns in Ohio. This is Cirque du Womp's first large scale event, and already the lineup looks great. You got Tipper and Anasia. What do you guys know about the event, and how do you feel about being one of the, you know, the bigger acts on there?
It's gonna be super, super sick. This yeah. place is like, is really amazing. We played there last fall, and it was a really, really sweet time. And the lineup is like, wow. If I'm not mistaken, they threw this like dubstep circus in the wintertime, and I could be pulling this out of my ass, but I'm pretty certain they did like 1,600 people. It was like Anasia was like the headliner. It was no
Major
Tucker Sport.
Played too.
And now I think they realize that they've got a really good market for this. They brought it to a sweet venue. The artist lineup is like, I don't know.
That's,
I can't speak.
Insane,
yes, personally speaking, it's probably my favorite lineup of anything this summer, like any festival really. Like,
yeah, it's being in Ohio, you don't really get a lot of that music. It's starting to come through the Midwest more now, but
I'm really anywhere, right? Like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
just that lineup is.
Yeah, it would be good in San Francisco and New York. But yeah, so we're super, super excited about it. We've got some other stuff brewing too, you know. Hopefully, you know, things are going to start falling into place here pretty soon.
Yeah, I think we got some big announcements as far as festivals coming up.
Yes, yes.
Keep them under your hat so you don't get in trouble.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So when I've seen you at festivals, you've been playing a lot of late night sets. Do you feel like that's more conducive to your sound? Does it just not feel right when you've got the sun in your eyes, you're sweating, and it's 2 p.m?
Yeah, it sucks to like say we're pigeonholed as a late night act, but like, I don't know, we keep the party going. We definitely play good, upbeat dance music that, you know, it's definitely good to hear when the sun comes down.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you put us on at 2, we're going to party all night until 2.
It's a super nice. Right.
So, I mean, it's your call. You know, like, you can put us wherever, but we're...
It could be dangerous, though.
And you're on risk.
The Saturator remix of EP3 Seasons from their brand new EP, 8 Planets Past Pluto.
So let's talk about the new EP, 8 Planets Past Pluto. How does this latest release differ from EP3D? How has your sound evolved in really a short period of time since the last release?
Yeah, I think the new CD is, or new EP, excuse me, is definitely a step in a very new direction for us. The songs were less focused on the four on the floor and more focused with like some dynamics and stuff. And Chuck like killed the production. We had Charlie P master it. So it was a combination of different songwriting, like kind of a different approach on, you know, the songwriting thing, but also like a really mature and developed production.
Is there a connective thread with all the songs on the EP, or is it just the best of your latest batch of tunes?
I feel like it's super consistent. They all flow real well into each other. They all have awesome space noises. I feel like I'm just floating.
Yeah.
And that's really cool.
I think that's the most important thing with music nowadays.
Yeah, it's got to have some sort of attitude, you know, no matter what that is. You know?
It's like a really good sci-fi movie, I feel like, condensed into 3 songs.
So tell me about the remix contest that you guys decided to put on for the release. How has that sort of evolved into its own thing and maybe something that you might want to continue in the future?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Remixes are awesome. Like, it's kind of like we kind of hear our songs in a new light. And it's a good way to find out who's that we don't know about already, who's making really dope tracks and is trying to get out there like we are. And it's also a good chance to let some of our friends get a little love. If somebody searches for EP3 and like comes up with one of the remixes, you know, it promotes us and them.
Absolutely. What can you tell me about your winner for this contest?
He's actually from Blacksburg, Virginia. I actually heard this dude's CD a year ago and didn't know it until after I announced the winner that I already had this dude's CD and really liked it. So that's cool. I'm actually, you know, definitely going to talk to him about getting up with the underlying themes. Like, it's all his production's really tight.
So now that the EP is out, are you planning on touring in support, or are you just going on with your dates as usual, gearing up for the summer and big festivals?
We got like a month and a half tour that starts shortly after the release of the EP.
We hit the road on the 31st, and everything was basically to pump up the new EP and go on tour, play shows, go into the festivals, and then hit fall, release another EP, and see what happens from there.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to, you know, support each other, you know, like the album is in support of the tour is in support of the album, you know. I think they're both going to, we're going to get more downloads because we're touring, we're going to get more people at our shows because of our free downloads, you know.
Absolutely. Dan Cox, Tom Hilton, Charles F. Moreland III, and Patrick Scalambrino. Thanks so much for being on the UNS podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for everything, man. It means a lot to us, so really appreciate it.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's UNS podcast. Special thanks go to Underlying Themes and EP3 for being on the show. Their latest EP, 8 Planets Past Pluto, is up today at theUNS.com. Make sure you also check out their recently added spring tour dates. Coming up next week, West Coast bass cadet Mimosa will be on the UNS podcast. He just released a brand new EP, 58 Degrees, in the midst of a jam-packed coast-to-coast tour, and he's headlining at Irving Plaza in New York on March 31st. Remember to visit theUNS.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. There are also some great contests at theUNS.com. You could win tickets to Camp Barefoot, a couple of Big Mimosa dates, and all 4 U.S. stops on the Younger Brother Vaccine Tour, including their Philly date with Conspirator. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, or you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, contact me at anand@theunst.com. That's ANAND@theunst.com. Catch you next week.